for and we're started this series on mastering spiritual gifts. And anybody remember anything of the first two lessons we had, or anything recap? I'll do a quick one on a couple, some of the things this morning. But somebody tell me something that was here that remembers anything from the first, the gift of the Spirit. What was one thing that stood out to you in the gift of the Holy Spirit? The gifts of the Spirit. Come on now, y'all got to come with me this morning. Well, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, go ahead.
Well, that, like, you can be pretty well versed in other gifts, but there's one specific gift. And just because you're good at something doesn't mean that that's what God wants you to do, or that that's what He blessed you with.
Okay.
Like, I think
there's many gifts, but there's two. What, remember the one thing, the gift of the Holy
Spirit. And hereditary or natural? Yeah.
There's a difference, yeah, there's a difference in the natural talents and stuff than the gifts of what?
Of the Spirit.
Of the Spirit. Very good. Very good, Trella. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts are two separate gifts, too. Now, remember, this is very important. You got to remember. They're two separate gifts. Penny's giving me that look. Am I losing you already? They're two different gifts. The first, the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit Himself.
Yeah.
Okay? It's the Holy Spirit Himself. And through Him, what? Then all the other gifts come. Without Him, what is it? Natural gifts, right? Mm-hmm. Without the Spirit from on high, it is just natural gifts and talents of your own abilities.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So this is why I believe where we're at right now in our little group here, our church, is so key. It's so important. Understanding. You can't find your calling without these understanding, you know, who the one's giving them to you. Now, and we talked last week, we got up to, where did we get, Nick, to the, go back just a little bit, Joshua, if you can. I got to baptism in the Holy Spirit, different experience of salvation. That's where we got through that. But so what's the difference? Anybody remember?
There's the Holy Spirit Himself, which is part of the Trinity, which we receive upon getting saved.
People get really confused about the baptism of water and the baptism of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that they are two separate baptisms. Mm-hmm. Denominations teach they're the same. It's not the truth. I mean, and we give all these scriptures. Let's look through some of them, and if you're taking notes, write them down. We're not going to talk about every one for lack of time, because I got 35 minutes, and I believe it's going to be the Spirit taking over in a minute. But this baptism is not just for a chosen few, but for who?
Any
believer. Any born-again believer. Now, a lot of people get confused and say, well, that's just not my gift, or I don't, and they'll convince themselves that they can't receive certain gifts. Why? Because they're either not called to do this or that or whatever, but they're for everyone. All right? You got to remember that. Here's some scriptures. Acts 2:38, Mark 16:17, and these other two. Keep going now, Josh. We'll just scroll on through. Baptism in the Holy Spirit means to be baptized in the power to serve. And we talked about, and anybody, and I know Nick, oh, he left, he went in there, but we started off on every born-again believer has the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that brings souls to Jesus Christ. It says in the Bible, unless the Spirit draw, right? But see, we want to sometimes forget about Holy Spirit and the drawing of that. Every born-again believer has God's Spirit in him. Now, I'm not trying to convince you that you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to be saved. That's a total different thing. That's what you have to understand. All right? Now, so it's through the power of the Spirit that we accept and live for Christ. Romans 8, you can look over there, 9, 10, Galatians 4 and 6. We talked about baptism in the Holy Spirit is a different experience than salvation, and we just said that. And then we, Acts 9, look over there, you can even see the conversion of Paul, of Saul, to Paul, right? Who was Saul?
He was a hater of the Christians.
He was a hater of the Christians. He was more than a hater. Wasn't he?
Murderer.
He was a vile man. Anybody remember anything that stood out to him about Saul before his before Christ?
I mean, like when they had found Christians, like he'd be the one to help out too, and he'd be the one goading them as well.
And when there was a stone, and anybody know one that was stoned?
Stephen.
I think that
Stephen.
I thought that he was more of an administrator of it. Like a Paul was more on the business side of it. I think from what I read.
Saul.
Yeah, because I think
he was a leader.
He was really educated, and you know he wasn't just out there throwing stones. He was organizing.
Yeah, I mean he knew the Jewish law. He was, you could tell by just looking at his writing. He was an educated. He wasn't just a warrior killer kind of guy.
He was a Pharisee.
He was a Pharisee, right?
He was a religious leader.
Religious leader, okay, and he led the sect that did kill Christians and did like and Stephen was one of those. He was there when they stoned Stephen, right? Kenny?
Mm-hmm.
Any comments? Mm-hmm. All right. So and I brought up last week also Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Amen. And so I want all, and I shared about how my born again experience, my BC days. You know, I didn't understand this word. I didn't understand. And it was like John 3 when Jesus told Nicodemus, unless a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, and you can't understand this word sometimes. Yeah, you can be educated and be a very smart individual, right? Such as Saul. He knew the word of God. He knew. He was like one of the leaders, the sect leaders of the Pharisees. But what he didn't have was an encounter with the Holy Ghost. He didn't have an encounter with God. He wasn't saved. He wasn't born again. Until he became born again, all he had was what? Head knowledge. And it's not enough. That's not enough. I told a boy the other night, he said, yeah, I believe. I said, well, that's great. That's the first step because you got to believe. But Jesus said, only believe, but that's a different whole sermon. He said, it's not enough just to believe. He said, even the demons, they believe and they tremble. Why do they tremble and people don't? Anybody ever follow that?
They know his wrath.
Because they what?
Know his wrath.
Whose wrath?
God's wrath.
God's wrath. He's a righteous God. He's a God of, you know, and that's very good, Nick. You have to understand the character of God. Yes, he's a God, and he is a God of love. But he also is a God of righteousness. He's a God that don't take, you know, he does not, huh? Somebody said, huh?
He's going to look after his kids.
He's going to look after his kids, yeah. Well, but he also lets us make mistakes, doesn't he? He also lets us go to the end of ourselves. And you might be in a place right now today where you say, I don't know how I'm going to do this or that or whatever. Can I tell you, this is the key to Christianity, is understanding who you are in Christ and understanding what it means to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it was so important, he told his disciples, what? That it's expedient that I go to the Father so that what? Send another. And I always thought about that in the, you know, what? He said, greater things shall you see. And I'm like, wow, this has come from Jesus. Who John said, I said last week, or week before, about coming in John, the book of John, in the end it says, and all these books can't even really contain, and I'm paraphrasing what Jesus actually really did. But so then you think, wow, you mean greater things? Are we seeing greater things right now in Christianity? We'll just pick on the Christian. Are we? Are we seeing in people's lives? Are they living free in God? Are they have victories in God, even in trials and tribulations, things in their life? How can you, like Paul, be in prison and write these things of the books of how he's praising God and he's in prison? How can you be like that? Let me tell you this morning, you have to have an encounter. You have to have an experience with God like never before in your life. It has to be an empowerment of that same grace that we're saved by, the grace, the supernatural grace from on high. To say no to drugs, to say no to things in your life that you know is going to kill you, that's going to get you in trouble. So this morning, I'm going to once again challenge you. Remember 3 weeks ago I said, can you be open? Can you be open? Forget about what denomination might have told you if you went to a church that don't believe in the separate baptism of the Holy Spirit. Forget about all those things and say, you know what? I want it all. I want it all, God. Anybody in here want it all? Need it all?
Yes, sir.
Father, right now, I pray over this, these men and women. I pray, Father, by the power from on high, that God, this morning, you would supernaturally touch anyone in this room, God, that would say, I want it all. I need you, God. I need to be empowered from on high. By your grace, Lord, I know I'm saved by faith, and but Lord, this morning, I believe there's more. I believe that I can receive this morning. And I challenge every man and woman in this room to pray that prayer. I want you, God, like never before. Holy Spirit, have your way this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, back where we're at, I'm going to speak to you. The Holy Spirit is for all believers, and we had those scriptures of Acts. Baptism in the Holy Spirit means to be baptized in the power to serve. That's where I got to, right there. What does that mean? Look at Acts 1, 5, and 8. If you got your Bibles, flip over there. Anybody? Whoever gets there first can read it. We got Bibles in the backs of the seats now. If you don't have one, a Bible, take one home with you. Make it yours. That's what we got them for.
5 through what?
5 and 8.
5 through 8.
5 and 8.
5 and 8. 5. Somebody read.
I got it.
Go ahead.
For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth.
Okay. Somebody tell me what that word power means. I give y'all the definition here a couple weeks ago. In the Greek, it means what?
Dunamis.
Dynamite. Yeah. Yeah. Dunamis. You ever been around a spirit-filled believer and all of a sudden they started praying and you just felt something different? You're like, wow, that's anointing. That's anointing. Anointing comes through this very thing, what Jesus said. You shall receive dynamite, power. Boom. And this is why we're talking about this. Now, I want you to understand that there is times in my life that I cannot function in my own power. In other words, there'll be times in all our life that we got to draw from the tap somewhere else. Okay? We need, and we're fixing to go to repentance. We talked about that earlier, but the first thing is that you have to repent. But the fact is, it says in Acts 3:19, repent and then what? Be converted. And to be converted, you've got to be plugged in to the source. And so there's something inside of every believer That's the Holy Spirit, but it needs to be energized, okay? You've got to be energized, and this is what he's talking about here in this, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so they had an upper room experience. I'm not going to go into that right this second, but and that is one thing, oh, but that dynamite, he said, but it was for what? What was this for? Was it just for them?
No, it was for them to move in accordance to God's will.
Look at the scripture.
Spread the gospel into all the earth.
Yes.
The power in order to enable them to have others become saved. Yes.
Exactly. Be my witness. It was for that reason. He knew. We had of course, the doubting Thomas. We had the Peter who denied Jesus, what? Three times. And he told him before the cock crowed he would. All these unbelieving disciples, these guys, they were what? Powerless. They believed. Okay, here we go. Was they saved? Was they followers of Christ? Absolutely. But there was something more. That's what Jesus was telling them. There's something more. And so, and we see that in the book of Acts as it goes on, and we see that. So how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be right there today. And I've got 20 minutes. Hey, remember I said if we don't get through all this, it's all right. We ain't going to rush. This ain't just another sermon. This is for you to understand how important this is. If it takes a month, we're going to take a month. Everybody all right with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first thing, how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, build a good foundation. Mm-hmm. You have to have a good foundation. How many builders we got in here? I know Dante's a builder, Joe, Nick. Every man in here probably drove a nail, built something. Even the women. I know, she always, that's why I do it, just because she wants to come. Hey, she hits her finger every time that she drives a nail.
I hit my finger.
What's the first thing you got to do? You got to have a solid foundation.
That's right.
So, build a good foundation. You must believe that it's biblical. First thing, you have to believe it's in this Bible about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's biblical. Okay? Am I in the way? Now, this you can write this down. This is scriptures right here that you can write these down. I'm not going to go through all of them. But remember, I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to look in the Bible. Take the Bible's word for it. Okay? Otherwise, there's no need for you to even desire it. Can I just be honest? If you don't believe it's biblical, then there's no reason for you to desire it. Is it going to, you're going to lose your salvation? You go, no. Are you? But, hey, if you want to walk around powerless without it, then that's your choice. All right? That's mm-hmm. all I'm going to say about that. Mm-hmm. See what the Word says about it. Okay? Acts 1:5-8, right here. Write those down. See what the Word of God says about it. You and the next, you must believe that it is for you today. Mm-hmm. It didn't die out
mm-hmm.
back then in them days. All right. Now religion will trip you up. There's denominations in religion and stuff that'll tell you that was for then, this, that, and for now. But let me just stop. I need to preach right there a second because I'm going to tell you what. But Jesus died what? Did he die for some of our sins?
Nope.
Did he die for all of our sins? Did he say greater things shall what? Come? It's only through the Holy Spirit. It wasn't about just this time and experience neither. All right? Hey, Saul ain't even in the picture right here. So this is it's later on. I've heard so many theologies on this and that. And you can pull out anything you want to out of this scripture. Okay? I could pull out something and contradict what I'm saying right now if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, and man will.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because man's scared. Man is scared to say there is more. And there's preachers, there's teachers out there right now that is heresy. There's things in their life they're teaching, and they're leading out the most important part of Christianity. From the Christ experience of being born again to what is going to make me be able to get up this morning and say no to drugs. What's going to give me the ability to face the enemy and turn the other cheek and walk away from a fight, to do things in my life? It's only Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Yes, every man and woman in this room has what? A body, a soul, and it's what? Spirit, right? But it's only when we're empowered through the supernatural ability from on high, and it's even, listen, those of you in CR, those of you doing the 12 steps, what is the first step?
Recognize that I am not God.
Recognize that what?
I'm not God.
And what?
And I do not have the tendency, I don't have the power to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, and that my life has become unmanageable.
Exactly. My life has become unmanageable. That's the R in recovery. Realizing I'm not God. But here's the thing. We want to be our own God. We want to. It's a selfish mentality. All right. Next, you must believe that it's necessary and useful in your life. You have to believe that it's useful. He is useful to be in your life, to empower you. And so that's about building a good foundation. The second thing, prepare your heart for how to receive is to prepare your heart through repentance. The only thing that will separate you from God is what? Your sin, right?
That's right.
So then, why don't we repent? Why don't this nation cry out like it says in the Word of God and pray and repent and seek God?
Satan has a hold of us.
Don't want change.
And he's dividing it. He's totally dividing this country. And it has a lot to do with the enemy.
What about us individually, though?
You would have to admit that you have a problem.
Ooh.
That's the key. Denial. First step. Facing the denial. Hey, I got a problem. I got
to deny it, but I don't know if I'm going to get it. If I'm worth
that's
it.
That's okay. You're in a good place because you admit it. You have to admit it first before you can receive it. You have to repent of it and place what? Your faith in Him. You have to believe that He is who He says He is. Half the church don't believe He is the God of the Bible. He is the God of deliverance. He is everything we need in our life. He's a pie in the sky God to the church today. He's not the one that sticks closer than the brother. He's not the one that leads and guides us in all truth. So we're going to preach, but I can tell you it's hard for me to speak on the Holy Spirit without preaching a little. Now, come on, I want y'all to go with me. Get excited about this. And through, though no one can be good enough to receive the gift of God, let me say that again, though no one can be good enough to receive the gift of God, it is still very important for us to repent of all known sin in our lives. We have to let the blood of Jesus cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 2:9 says what? He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sin. But what? We have to repent first, right? We got to acknowledge it. We got to admit that we're sinners and that we need that grace. Acts 2:38 and 39. There's a scripture there you can look up. Ephesians 2:8 and 10. Anybody know that scripture right off heart? It's a good one you should memorize. Anybody? We're saved by what?
Grace.
Grace.
Not your faith, lest anyone should boast. Is that the one?
Yes.
I don't have it completely memorized.
That's good enough. We're saved by grace through faith. Not of what?
Ourselves.
There we go. Not of ourselves. So that what? Anyone would boast. Because listen, let's be honest. The original sin is about selfishness, isn't it? It's about self. So that's why he put that on in there. Not of ourselves. Why? So that anyone should boast. But it is a what? Gift from God. It's a gift from God. We can't talk about the gifts from God without understanding the Holy Spirit. We can't. So we got to understand, number three, develop a spiritual hunger and thirst. As a born-again believer, Paul talked about it, us being like babes in Christ, right? And what does a baby have to do to survive?
Depend.
Well, it just does that. But what does it have to do to survive? Say it out loud.
It has to be fed.
What is our food? As believers, this is our food. If I asked you right now, nobody's got to say anything. If I asked you right now, what did God speak to you yesterday when you was reading your Bible? Somebody tell me one of those. If I asked you what God spoke to you the day before, what would you say? I could go on and on and on. And listen, I'm not picking at you, but I want you to be honest with yourself and be honest with God. If you're not feeding yourself, guess what? You're starving.
Come on.
You're starving to death. You're starving your spirit. And you cannot go to church and believe there will be enough. You can't go on CR on Tuesday night and say, that's enough. The steps and the programs and everything is great. But I want to challenge you and tell you, unless you feed yourself and you get out and you say, I can't spoon feed y'all every week. I'm giving you the word this morning, and I hope it's getting somewhere with you. But you've got to grab a hold of the walk of Christianity. It comes from being able to say, tapping into the source.
Yeah.
And whether it's Rhema word or logo, Rhema word comes from what? From above, and it comes in a revelation. But logos is what? The written. God, give us this word to feed us. For those who are hungry and thirsty,
yes.
This is the only way we receive from God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about y'all. Yeah, I have revelations, and a prophet is a prophet, and they prophesy and what? But Brother Frank prophesied in your life. He'd get a word, but he don't live with you. Is that enough? It might be something you need right then and right now, and that's part we're going to get into over the next few weeks. Not just, and the other day when I asked one who it was funny about, but it's the mindset of what is the first thing you think of when you say about baptism of the Holy Spirit? Somebody said speaking in tongues. Somebody said cult. I think, yeah. And that's okay. But that's the mindset we're taught. Oh, hey, you know what? Spirit of God move over here, and they start hearing about it, Pentecostal move or whatever. Just what they probably handling snakes over there. Really, I mean, but this is passed on through generations and generations of people. Not from this, from the Word. That's why I challenge you. Don't believe me. Believe the Word of God. All right, that's all I'm gonna preach on right there. Ask the number four. Ask the spirit-filled believer to lay hands on you. We're gonna get into that a little bit. What does that mean? And some of you may be uncomfortable with that. Never been around it. You know, that's okay. Hang on. Be open. Remember what I challenged you with. Say, okay. You know, that freaks me out a little bit when somebody touches me, lays hands on me. But there's something about that transfer of power.
That's right.
There's something about a believer who can stand there and lay hands on you. People can go out in the spirit and lay there and just flop. I've seen them hit concrete floors with their head and get up and not ever even have a knot on their head. I'm telling you, when the power of God can be transferred, okay? And the blessings of God. You go back in the Old Testament, and guess what? How they blessed their youngins? Laying on hands, didn't they, Brother Frank?
Amen.
They laid hands on the right hand. They laid hands, they passed it on.
Impartation
of power and spirit through faith and the laying on of hands. All right? And so here's some scripture for that. It's not the believer who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Not the believer who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the baptizer. We can only impart a boost of faith and agree to come, in agreement to come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit, we're in agreement with you. Well, I can't believe for Joe or Cara. I can believe for them, but it has to be your decision whether you want it or not. Okay? So these are things to remember. How to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Be a thing, ask in faith and expect to receive it. Ask in faith and expect to receive it. How many times, I mean, and we got Brother Frank's here, you lay hands on people, you know, some get it, some don't. But we walk away, and I don't lose no sleep over it. But you have to, I want you to receive, but you have to want it. You have to want it, and you have to be willing to expect it.
Brother Ronald,
yes.
When you pray and you have a relationship with the Lord, what happens is hope rises up within you first.
Yes.
And then faith, that's when the faith comes out, because without hope, you cannot believe for something that's not there that you can't have.
Exactly.
So you have to pray to know what the Lord is saying to you before. Because you can pray for anything. Anybody can go down to the car lot and buy a car. If you've got credit, if you've got a good bank account, or you've got a good job, or you've got money.
Right.
But where the faith comes in is when you have a prayer life and the Lord says, okay, notice, pray, and you're praying for a car or whatever, use that for illustration, then hope rises up to believe, and the Lord says, okay, then the faith comes up to make it alive. And when faith comes up, it don't matter if you have money,
amen,
car, job, whoever, whatever.
Amen.
But when that comes up, then that's when the faith becomes alive. And if the Lord told you, you'll walk on the car lot, and you'll get yourself a car.
Yeah, right, exactly.
If you have faith.
That's right.
That's where the faith comes in. That's where the transition comes in through faith, because without faith, what?
It's impossible to what?
It's impossible to please God.
To please God.
So if you don't pray, you can't please God.
That's right, Gordon.
Yeah, I'm kind of a little, maybe juvenile here. I'm a little confused. No, that's
fine.
To the earlier, you said, you know, you hear it says to expect to receive what you ask for, but earlier you don't always get what you ask for. But here you're saying expect to receive what you ask
now
for.
Now that's Mick Jagger. This isn't Bob. No.
As we pray, the Lord changes our mind.
Mm.
And because, see, we want stuff that we want.
Uh-huh.
And until we, it's kind of like going from kindergarten to first grade and on up, you know, we're continuously, there's never an end growing.
Yeah. Amen.
And so because we go from glory to glory, from rim to rim. Go ahead, brother. I don't want to take
no, that's good. Does that help you? But
can I just...
go ahead.
It says that if we ask anything according to His will, we receive it.
Right.
Okay, so that's the thing. And what Brother Frank is talking about is we really don't know what God's will is. We have our own idea of what we need and what we want. So we go to God and pray, but as He says, then the Holy Spirit rises hope in us, and all of a sudden, God starts giving us a desire for something other than possibly either what we were looking for or something else. Once the Holy Spirit starts giving us a desire for it, and when we start hoping for it, then we place our faith in it,
and we ask God for this thing.
Yeah.
So just because you want something, you don't know for sure if that's God's will until you pray. He either confirms it or gives you a desire for something else.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
And you know, that's why, and people think it's contradicting to talk, and he gives an analogy. Of course, you know what an analogy is. In the Bible, it says to ask, to seek, and to what?
Knock.
Knock. Now, if somebody don't come to the door on what, the first knock when you go to their house, what do?
Keep knocking.
You knock again. Especially if you know they're there. Ooh.
No, that's very good, Monty.
Oh, the mercy. Especially if you know they're there.
But if you don't know they're there.
But if you don't know they're there, what do?
You stop.
Oh, glory to God. You stop and you leave and you go on your own way.
Uh-huh. And it for yourself.
Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost. Let me share this real quickly. I'm probably going to have to close, but I'm going to tell you what God spoke to me yesterday. Cleaning the room up over there at the Good Shepherd Recovery House. I'm down in there and I've done cleaned, the floor. I started vacuuming. I'm a vacuuming and cleaning, and it's looking pretty good. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's spider webs all in the corners and everything. The Lord speaks to me sometimes in places, and stuff. It's like, he said, let me try to think exactly now. He says, why do you start at the bottom? He said, I want you to look up first. Mm-hmm. We're seeing, as Christians, we start on the places that are we look at as comfortable.
Right.
But God says, why do you look? You look up. You've got to look up and at Him, and then work your way down.
That's right.
Man, just a little something like that. Sometimes that's how God speaks.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks a rhema word that means something to you, and that's through the Spirit. I said, oh my God. We're getting it all wrong, you see. We're forgetting to clean the fan. We're starting cleaning up a process on our own that we think's okay, but God's got something else. He's got a purpose. He says, if you start with me and it work your way down, it's going to be clean. When we clean the house up, guess what? The house is still dirty, he said.
Right.
But when he cleans the house up, he cleans the house up. And there ain't no filth in it.
That's
hallelujah.
Right.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So, man, just that little bit, I got excited in there and I got on my knees and started repenting. Because you have to. Lord, I hadn't placed you first. I was in there clean. I had my head down thinking all his problems and stuff. God said, look up. Look up. And I want to encourage you in here today. If you look up to him, he's going to clean the house.
Amen.
He's going to clean the house. And then what's he going to do? Fill it with his glory. Fill it with all the things, the blessings he has for your life. And the more you draw closer to him, it says he draws closer to you. And when you've got a clean house, you've got a clean vessel, and the Spirit comes in power, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and you don't fear no evil. You can go through things and trials in your life and face adversity, and they ain't no problem. They're just a little bump in the road.
That's right.
It might look like a mountain right now in your life in here. It might look like there's no way you're going to overcome this. That's when God steps in and he says, now it's when I've been waiting on. I've been waiting on you to keep knocking at my door because I want to come in. I want to sup with you. I want to have. And so it goes right back to being hungry and thirsty for God. Pushing past yourself and saying, you know what? I don't feel like it this morning. I really want to go to church this morning. I just pretty day, I just want to laugh. But God's got something for you. That's why it says, forsake not the assembling together. Because everybody in here is lifting each other up.
Amen.
It might be right now in the spoken word. It might be right out there on the porch with a hug or in there by the coffee machine. Whew. Glory to God. And the fifth thing is, again, ask in faith and expect it, receive it. And then when they don't ask, they do not expect to receive. It says, you have to ask God through the name of His Son, Jesus, to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Always it's through Christ. You do not necessarily have to have anyone around you, or you don't have to even have somebody lay hands on you to receive the baptism. But it can be a big help to have someone praying over you with their faith and power. And expect it. Acts 19:6. Is that on there? Here with some scriptures here. Acts 2:4, John 7:38, Psalms 22:5, Luke 11:13. Remember, all God's gifts are experienced through faith and through the finished work at Calvary in the Lord Jesus. It's always through the finished works of Christ. You do not in any way have to be good enough to receive the gift. It is and will always be given to the believer by faith because of the finished works of Christ. Hear what I'm saying. You don't have to be good enough. Nobody is good enough.
Come on.
It's always because of Christ.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why it's about a personal relationship with Him. Amen. It always points to Him. Nobody in this room is good enough. It's by the shed blood. As you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can begin to receive all the gifts then of God. And you start finding your calling. Also a prayer language known as the gifts of tongues. Here we go. You may feel as if something has been poured on you, or you may feel like an ecstasy of joy and an inner fulfillment. Some feel like there's a fire burning, okay, within them. And all of a sudden has this boldness, a bold prayer, and may begin when you're filled. The gift of tongues normally will come with some what of a stammering word or two. Okay, like a stammering word or something. Think of a baby. What does a baby start doing?
Babbling.
Yeah. It starts loosening its tongue. You know why people don't ever walk out in faith in the tongues? Because it's there, and then you're like, ooh, I don't know. That's the devil. I'm getting away from that. But it's there. It's talking about loosening your tongue. And you'll be around people that may make you uncomfortable, have different times. Me and Penny's had this conversation many times. I come from a Baptist church. Now, I'm not picking on the Baptists. Thank God for them. I mean, that's where I started and I learned about Jesus, and He become my Lord, my Savior. I didn't have Him as a Lord. That was what was wrong with me for all them years. But I also knew when I got born again, made Him my Lord and Savior, back I needed more. There was something more, and I sought after everything God had. And I was open. Now I'm Babacostal. But it come in my bedroom. Okay, I received a gift in my bedroom, on my knees, beside my bed. See it to this day. Just had watched 2 hours on TV of some preaching. I watched Charles Stanley teach on stuff, and I'm like, well, I don't know. And I'm not picking on Charles. Thank God for Charles Stanley. He's, you know, once saved, always saved, and there ain't nobody in this world convincing him any different, and that is okay. Because I believe with him that if you are saved, you ain't going to lose your salvation, period. So let's just leave it there. But there was this man and this man, and I was so hungry for God. Oh, I said, God, I want all of you. I know I have to have all of you. I went after the devil and drugs and that lifestyle and women and everything with full force.
Yes.
And I've always been that type of individual.
Yes.
I'm either all in or I ain't in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if you're like that, but if you'll go after God that way and you'll start seeking Him like that, guess what? He'll come in. He'll come in when you're knocking at His door, when you're hungry, you're thirsty. And I would say, Lord, I don't understand that dust now and the these and all these things and all. And then I got to watching a man who taught the Word of God on TV and challenged my mind. And I'm like, wow, he's got some crazy theology. So, but that challenged me. Again, but one thing he would say, and I'm not picking on this man, but he'd say, okay, if you don't understand what I'm saying, just put it on a shelf. I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do with that right there, because I don't know about that. I'm going to search some more. And I'd search, and I'd search, and I'd remember that there was a time down there at the church, I was at a little church, that something happened. Even my grandmother, who taught for over 50 years in the Baptist church, her and some other women went to a camp meeting. They had a camp meeting around here. And a camp meeting, if you've ever heard of that, it's like a revival, okay? And they was some Pentecostal preachers there. There was some people there who were walked in gifts and all this stuff. Long story short, these women went with an expectation for more of God. And they got it. They got it. It changed their life, these women.
Yeah.
Some of them left the Baptist church because of it. My grandmother didn't. She stayed in there. But I saw her struggle many, many years because the denomination says, no, we don't do that. We don't believe that. Now, this is my personal life. I can share that. I'm not picking on them, okay? Trust me. I love all that whole church, and a lot of my family still goes there. But I saw her struggle. She said, Ronnie, I just want, when I went to this Pentecostal church, where me and my wife ended up, and I met my wife and everything else, my grandmother says, well, now they're spirit-filled, right? And I said, oh, yeah. First time I went there, a guy stood up. His name was Prophet Sneed. I asked Penny about him last night. I don't know where he's at now. Him and his wife, he got up and prophesied. And it scared the fool out of me. Joshua may remember him. He was a little big guy. But this man walked in some kind of something, you know, I knew right then. I was like, whoa, this guy. I'd kind of just step around him when I'd see him coming into church. Because he might just walk up to you and look at you like that right there and just walk away. Or something. Then he might walk up and say, read your mail. Nobody know. Only you and the man above. That's a real prophet. Okay? All right, that's all I'm going to go there. But all this happened within that church. I believed pretty much everything my grandmother said.
That's right.
There was nothing that anybody could say against her or whatever now. But she knew I needed more. She knew my lifestyle for over 20 years, and I was hard. And she knew that I needed more. Even though she sent somebody over there to invite me to come back to that church, I looked at them and I told them, I said, I love y'all brothers, you know. I was not already baptized in the Spirit right then, about 4 days before they come. This is so cool. And I said, come on in. I was in here reading my Bible. And they was going to invite me to church. Well, I'm inviting them to all this stuff to be open. And they like, well, we need to get on out of here because don't seem like you're fine, I believe they said. And they got on out of there. We're going to tell your grandma you're fine because she was still concerned about me. But she said, Ronnie, just be open. And I believed her.
Amen.
But she didn't practice her gift, and she lost it.
Uh-huh. Amen.
You say, what do you mean? God gives you something. He anoints you.
Mm-hmm.
And he anoints you for that gift, and you're part of your calling, whether it's preaching, teaching, tongues, prophecy, anything. If you don't use it, you lose it. You ever heard that? It's an old saying, but if you don't use it, you lose it. She said, oftentimes, Ronnie, I'd feel it, but I wouldn't speak it. You know why? Because she was told, no, we don't do that here.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
It's sad. It makes me want to cry. It makes me want to just get upset that there's denominations, there's places, there's people telling you this. There's, wait a minute now, I don't know about all that. Because they are not open. They are not open for the truth that can set them free. Yeah. That's all I got on this today. But I want you to understand, the next we're going to talk about the results of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so, Isaiah 28:11, the prophet Isaiah prophesied. Have we got that scripture up there?
I don't think so.
Yes,
they,
well, it's listed there, but not the scripture itself.
Okay. Brother Frank, read that scripture for me real quick. Look at Isaiah 28:11. And see, this is old now. We always like to bring the old in with the new, remember? Listen to what Isaiah says and prophesies there. The gifts of tongues normally will come with somewhat, or as a stammering word, I said that, but you have to keep letting it flow out.
Mm-hmm.
You got to let it keep flowing out, because if you cut it off, it's like my grandmother, you know, you cut it off and then it's like, then you start having doubt.
That's right.
You start having fear and doubt, and you start hearing those voices or people that's told you it's not real, it's not this, it's not that. So you have to, it's a faith thing. Go ahead, brother. Read that.
It says, very well, then, with foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to it through his people.
Say it again.
Very well, then, with foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to his, to these people.
All right. The prophet Isaiah, from his words. If you hear these stammering words in your mind, go ahead and say them aloud without fear. You may even sing them.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, it's like angelic when you get around a bunch of spirit-filled people praising God, and all of a sudden they break out in a different language.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what happened in the book of Acts over here. God gave them that word, and the fire fell. It says like cloven tongues, and all the people and all the regions, all of a sudden they, wait a minute, who, these guys we know, and they're speaking in this language and this language and this language. Why? God wanted to show himself powerful.
That's right.
He wanted to show himself powerful through his preachers, through these guys. So these gifts will greatly enhance your prayer life. If you exercise it, as you pray in the Spirit, you pray the perfect will of God. Mm-hmm. Romans 8:26-27. Look that one up. There's a difference in the Acts one I just quoted than 1 Corinthians 14, the unknown tongues. Okay, we'll talk more about that, but there's the unknown tongue. You won't know what it is. The unknown tongue, though.
God.
Whew. It's a special, like, channel, a special language right to the Father or to Christ.
Your understanding.
It goes beyond your own understanding, but he understands. You've heard us say many times that don't speak negative stuff, the power of the tongue. Satan knows what you, when you start saying stuff, he knows it. He listens, right? He's assigned to you, whether you want to call it demons or whatever,
yes,
in your life. Like it's, Paul said, he had a thorn in the flesh. He said, a messenger of Satan to buffet. So we don't know who that, you know, they could be assigned to just keep you discouraged, keep you down, keep you in your mind.
Yes.
And keep your mind. See, the whole key, it says in the Bible, taking every thought captive to what? The obedience of Christ. But if you don't know Christ, if you don't read His Word, and if you ain't opening this Word up and you ain't studying the Word of God, you're powerless.
Come on.
You're going to battle without your sword.
That's right.
You're just going out there and you'll kill me because I ain't got no defense. You throw your arm up against the devil and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Then he speaks him to go into his new lifestyle. Guess what? They're strapped. They're carrying guns because it's real. It's the same thing with Christianity, with the enemy. He is real. It drives me crazy to see people who are powerless. So listen, you see I'm passionate about this. Why? Because I can't do it without Him.
That's right.
I can't do it without Him. And it's not it, it's Him, Holy Spirit. He lives inside of the believer. It says, quench not the Holy Spirit. You see, when you're not studying the Word of God, when you're not seeking God, when you're not in right relationship with God, you're living in sin in your life, you hadn't repented and turned from your sin, guess what? You're powerless.
Amen.
He can't do anything to help you. Get this. He wants to. One time, a hard time in my life, and I'll close with this. I was struggling, really struggling. And I asked God, I've been praying. God He'll take you to repentance. Every time. Because it's what? The first step.
Amen.
Is repentance. You got to get to repentance before you can get over here.
That's right.
Or over here to the glory. The glory to the next thing. And I was on my knees repenting, crying out to God. And He's like this. I saw, it's like an image of like Daddy God. Like this. Ronnie, I've been calling you to repentance. I can't look upon you right now. The Bible says God cannot look upon what?
Sin.
Because He's what? He's a holy and just God. He wants to. He says, I want to help you. You won't repent. You won't turn. God knows our heart. He knows when we're real. And it's not just feeling sorry for your sins.
Come on.
Right. It ain't. Trust me, I deal with that all the time in jail and prison ministry. Oh, they in their hallelujah and in scriptures and everything. But true repentance comes from godly sorrow.
That's right.
Godly sorrow is understanding the fear of God. A reverence of God, that you fear Him enough, you do not want to be away from Him. You want to be in righteousness, right relationship with Him. And you have to turn away from your sin and go to Him, like the prodigal son. The father's there with open arms waiting. He's not putting more on you. Requirements and law, because of His Son Jesus, paid it all. We're none in here worthy. All of us sin and all of us fall short. Paul said, he was humble and said, I, as the chief amongst sinners. So, next week, results of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'll finish that up. And how to maintain the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The results of yielding to the Holy Spirit. The results of yielding. What's the results if there's a yield sign out there and you ignore it? What happens?
You crash.
You wonder why you're on a roller coaster, bouncing lifestyle? I bet you something today, God challenged you in something today, whether it was either reading this word or whatever it is. Our firm foundation we created, one of the hardest things for new Christians is to get in a daily devotion with God. Paul struggled with the church, Corinth, and all around, and they was always about this and that, and one speaking out, women in preaching, and saying stuff in church, and tongues here and that and everything. But one thing he come to the understanding is, it's up to them to change. he didn't pull many punches, neither did he, when it got down to it. He was a gracious man of God, but he did understand, though, there is a place and time to walk in. And but, you know, going back on Paul, what happened to had to happen to him? He had to have an encounter with the same thing we're talking about. And he was so stubborn, he was a lot like me, he had to be blinded on the road. I mean, struck down. Blinded because of why? What do you think? Anybody ever got a revelation on that, Brother Frank? Why do you think he had to be blinded?
He could see in the supernatural, not just with his eyes.
Oh, maybe. Very good. Maybe.
So he can learn to listen.
Ooh. So he's seen about everything in the region, hadn't he? I guarantee you, he even seen healings. He's saying, you think those guys, there were assigned to watch Jesus, wasn't it? Why? Because he's going around and everybody's following him. They were always paranoid within the Roman government and all the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the church folk. They were always paranoid about miracles, about the gifts, all the things that were happening through Christ and all these things. So they were like spies and all this kind of stuff. Paul was a chief, he said. So sometimes it takes a conversion like Paul for some of us. I got, and some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I got a couple guys right now. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what's going to have to happen. I don't even know. I tell Penny sometimes, why in the world you put these people in my life? And you put them under, I don't say under me, but you put them in my life and you want me to pastor them or you want me to, you know, and God will always say, because that's what I called you to do. Amen. It's about them. It's about His kingdom and His purpose.
Amen.
And God has a purpose for everyone in this room. Know that. You may not know it right now, what it is or whatever, and that's okay. Hang in there. All right? Hang in there. He's going to anoint you to do His plan, His purpose. Let's pray. Lord, first of all, I just want to thank you for your love. Thank you for your compassion and your forgiveness. Father, we lift you up above everything right now in our life, our families, our monies, our jobs, our everything. God, eternal vision right now throughout these men and women.
Yes.
Can you see God right now high and lifted up in your life? If you can't, I want to challenge you right now in here to do that. And remember, the way to get there is through repentance. If you got sin in your life, I want you to repent of it right now, honestly, and to turn from your way so God might fill you. I pray this morning that everyone in this room would seek more of God. More. Father, breathe mightily your spirit and your power on these men and women. As they seek you, Lord, they're going to find you. As they knock at the door, you're going to open. And God, their prayers are going to be answered. It may be not be like they think or want. But I know it's at, for all of our best interests when you answer with yes and amen. And Lord, this morning, thank you for all that you do in our life. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Lord, for your Son Jesus, that we can come to you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you empower us, you comfort us, and you challenge us. You convict us of those sins so that we can walk in the fullness of who God shows each and every one of us to be. And God, now I pray over everyone here. I pray over their hearts and their tithes and their offerings and their giving. And God, that everyone that gives, Lord, you're going to give back to them way more than they can even imagine, God, just from their faithfulness. And God, I pray over all their finances. I pray over, God, their homes, their relationships with their husband and wife, and the things, God, the new doors that are open, so that they would share testimony that it come from you and you alone. And everything we have is because of you and in spite of us, because of God, your love. And Lord, we just want to say thank you this morning. We pray for our children's ministry. We continue to, Lord, pray for the right people to come and be involved. And God, that Trace won't be alone back there. Lord, there's going to be a children's ministry. We believe that.
That's right.
There's going to be a teen ministry. We pray these things as they are and will be. And we look to the future and we thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.